Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars. And coming to you live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Hello, everyone. Yes, we're here. We're going to talk some good boxing. We've got a lot of things to talk about, upcoming events, past events, things that are happening all around the world and in the world of boxing. And we're ready, man.
Well, let's get into there's been some cancellations with the Mayweather thing over there in Dubai.
I was trying to get my flying carpet over there, and I was trying to land on that helipad.
And
they won't let me.
It's pretty high up here in the world, too, man. The largest hotel, the tallest hotel in the world with that helicopter pad. But, you know, I don't even know the altitude of where that helicopter pad is. You know, like when you're on top of a mountain or something like that, it has to be at a high altitude with that building being so high. And
yes,
you
somewhere
know,
over 1,000 feet. I don't know exactly either, but yeah, it's up there.
yeah, and we've seen the, you know, Bayou Jack shadow boxing in the ring up there before it got canceled with the death of the president. You know, him dying at 73 years old. So they're going to mourn for like 3 days. Islamic tradition called a janaza, and we'll see what happens with that, Bob. See if they had a cancellation clause in the contract or what, and how, you know Mayweather, he gets pretty good money up front. He normally gets guaranteed certain things on the back end of a pay-per-view, but he came through Africa talking, chatting. He caused a roar in Nigeria when he was there promoting the fight before he went to Dubai, it looks like this is something with that fight that high, you know, with that altitude on top of a hotel, it has to be a historical a mark in boxing history. You know, they've done them on ships and stuff like that, you know, on landing pads of ships boxing. But never on a helicopter pad of a hotel. And what we were talking about, what I seen, man, that little small rail, man, you trip. That looks like a long fall to the ground. So, yeah. You know, the entourages, you know, I think they would have to limit it because there wouldn't be no pushing and shoving up there. Us, a whole bunch of people's going to go to have a big fall. And we wouldn't want that to happen, Bob.
Oh, that was right. Yeah, but that was going to be, not only was Mayweather going to fight Don Moore, but you mentioned Badu Jack, but also former world champion Delphine Persoon. She was going to be fighting there too. So, you know, there's more going on than just the Mayweather fight. We said a couple of old former world champions. And so we'll just have to wait and see. There was some talk about trying to get it done like right away, like within the next weekend or wherever. But as you mentioned, there's still some questions as far as when the country, the United Arab Emirates, is going to open back up again. That was Sheikh Khalifa was the president's name. Like you said, he passed away earlier this week, and they are in a mourning right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, whenever you have something like going on like that, most of the time, Bob, in boxing contract, you have a cancellation clause. You know, they blot it out, and sometimes they got to cut. It has to happen with 60, 30, 90 days or, you know, stuff like that. And if it's blotted out and they gave him the money, well, he just keep on going.
It's getting easier and easier for him to make money.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do that under them over there. But, yeah, and it looked like they were having somebody in the UFC fighting, I guess it was Anderson.
He was going to fight too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's good. And also, hey, look, Freddie Ladd, while we have it, his guy's fighting tomorrow night. We had Freddie Ladd on, a former fighter guy, trained one of his pugilist fighters, is going to fight tonight. So we want to wish Freddie Ladd and his fighter the best. Hope they pull out a victory, get a win there, and can bring them back on the show and bring the fighter back on the show, Bob.
That'll be great. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. But, Bob, man, let's go around the world, and we'll talk about once you take us on that carpet ride around the world. We're going to be talking about the big fight tonight once you announce that. And we'll talk about Don King's matchup that he has with his heavyweight, WBA heavyweight champion. And we'll get into all of that after you take us on that carpet ride around the world. Come on with it, Bob.
All right, let's head out to Carson, California, USA, where Jermell Charlo, 34-1-1, 18 KOs, puts his WBA Super, WBC, and IBF World Super Welterweight titles up against the WBO World Champion Ryan Castano, 17-0-2, 12 KOs. In a big rematch, they had a fall. It's a follow-up to their July 2021 draw, and everybody's looking forward to this. As you say, we'll talk more about this. Also on the Showtime event is the battle of unbeaten welterweights. There's Jerron Ennis, 28-0, 26 of those by knockout. He's out of Philadelphia. He steps in with a 19-0-1, 12 KOs. Kustio Clayton in an IBF eliminator. And we have Super Bantams Kevin Gonzalez, 24-0-1, and Emmanuel Rivera-Nieves, 19-2, squaring off. And it's Marcos Hernandez, 15-5-2 versus Brandon Lynch, 10-1-1, the 10-round middleweight matchup. The Forum in Inglewood is busy tonight, headlining with Sergey Kovalev, 34-4-1, 29 KOs. He hasn't fought since November of 19 when he lost to Canelo Alvarez. He'll be taking on Tervel Pulev, 16-0, 13 KOs in the cruiserweight finale. And the heavyweight clash of Kubra Pulev, the brothers, are fighting tonight, 28-2, 14 KOs versus Jerry Forrest, 26-4-2, and 20 KOs out of that. Also, we want to mention Evan Holyfield, the welterweight. He's 9-0, 6 KOs. He's also in action tonight, battling Jermaine McDonald, 6-5. The Zone will be in Ontario, California, where undefeated light heavyweight Gilberto Ramirez, 43-0, 29 KOs, dukes it out with the IBO world title holder Dominic Bossel, 32-2, 12 KOs. Topping the undercard is the WBA Continental America's lightweight title bout between Williams de Pettis Segura, 25-0, 23 KOs, and Rene Alvarado, 32-11 with 21 knockouts. And featherweights Katsuma Agatsugi, 9-0, and Jose Santos Gonzalez, 23-9-1, also face-off. And 9-0, John Ramirez and the 8-1, Jan Salvatierra, both seek the vacant NABA super flyweight strap. Simi Valley has a card as well, topped with the Robert Ortiz versus Ryan Venable super lightweight clash. Dallas, Texas features the WBC-USNBC welterweight championship fight between the local product Charles Hatley, 30 wins, 2 losses in a draw, and Jamshedbek Najmitdinov. He's 18-2, as well as Sharetta Metcalf, 10-3-1, versus Danielle Bennett, 4-1. They battle for the open NABF female super bantamweight crown. Midland closes their show with 10-0 heavyweight Roni Hines slugging it out with Luis Pascal, 17-6. Welterweights Wayne Boudreau and Patrick Bernard Harris meet up in Pearl, Mississippi, and Tampa, Florida hosts their Radovo Kalajic versus Ernest Amuzu, 26-6 light heavyweight showdown. 9-1-1 super lightweight Rodricus Livesey is showcased in Decatur, Georgia, and the spotlight is on the 3-0 female super bantamweight Rihanna Rios in Fort Washington, Maryland. Super welterweights Brian Caballo, 12-0, and 10-2, Jared Sherrell, headline in Newark, New Jersey, on a card that also features the bout for the vacant WBA FedEssential flyweight belt between Andy Dominguez Velasquez, 6-0, and Edwin Reyes, 8-7-3. Dedham, Massachusetts closes their show with 10-0 James Perella versus Roque Augustine Junco, 10-10-1. It's a welterweight fight. And Richmond Hill, Ontario, Canada, hosts Junlong Zhang, 18-0, all 18 of those wins by knockout. versus Guillermo Casas, 10-2-1. It's a heavyweight confrontation. Down in Capiche, Mexico, Ricardo Soto fights Pedro Delgado Chable in the super lightweight finale. And in Zaragoza, the welterweight clash between Rafael Perales, 18-1-1, and Julio Luna Avila, 18-0-2, ends the night there, preceded by the Jorge Sevilla Acosta versus Gerardo Montoya heavyweight battle. Mexico City finished the night with Jose Ramirez Armenta stepping in against Fernando Curiel Nolasco in a flyweight contest. And Elazar Valenzuela Cabrillo faces off with Ricardo Rubalcaba in the super lightweight showtopper in Sinaloa. Superfly's tangled in Hatilo, Costa Rica, as Carlos Buitrago, 33-7-1, steps in with the 17-5, Jemson Ortiz. Made in Colombia, we'll see Vieras Ortega by Jose David Cogogolo for the country's bantamweight title. 10-0 super middleweight, Nahiro Garcia takes on Jorge Daniel Caraballo in the finale from Cordoba, Argentina on DirecTV, and Channel 9 will be in Caseros, Buenos Aires for the cruiserweight clash between Nicolas Leandro Arganaraz and Ramon Guidetti. Across the pond now to Bristol, Avon, United Kingdom, where the middleweight closer is the Aaron Sutton, 13-0, versus Vladimir Georgiev, 8-1 bout. Blackpool, Lancashire, hosts the Tyrone Bowen Price versus Josu Bandana, welterweight tussle, while in Manchester, the cruiserweight contest of Ricky Reeves and Anis Taj tops the bill. Super welters meet up in London when Tony Bonger squares up against Richard Helm. Belfast, Northern Ireland, closes the curtain after the Eric Donovan versus Angel Gomez super featherweight meeting. Super middleweight Melvin Rossing takes on Luis Barbario in the headliner from Helmond, Netherlands, and Hainaut, Belgium, highlights the Sarik Petrosian 9-0 versus Alessandro Fusula 7-1 super lightweight showdown. Paris, France features the heavyweight clash of Tony Yoka, 11-0, 9 KOs, and Martin Bacoli, 17-1 with 13 KOs. Elsewhere, Armand Luzon in Allier, light heavy Ciro Jolie and Martin Owonu clash, while in Fay, Morbihan, the middleweight bout between Vincent Galazzo and Mika Bigvava ends the night. It's super middles Kevin Delofre versus Jonathan Leclerc as the main event in Cologne, Ricourt, Pas de Calais, and in Clermont, Ferrano, de Dome, Nurali Erdogan, 12-0, and Sandy Massaud, 15-6, vie for the open WBC francophone welterweight belt. The headliner in Orléans, Savoie, is the Jean Lastor Nicola Mama versus Brian Fontaine super middleweight contest. Pantin, Saint-Denis, hosts the light heavyweight meeting of Birdie Zongo and Levant Ulitadiani. 15-1 welterweight Oscari Metz, taking on Anton Zasets, 5-13, is the finale in Helsinki, Finland. Roman Fresh, 15-0 with 9 knockouts, defends his WBO Intercontinental Cruiserweight title against the challenger Armer Jokshaj, 13-2 with 7 KOs. In the main event, Magdeburg, Sascha Anhalt, Germany. And also, it's Adam Dienis, 20 wins, 2 losses and a draw, versus Norbert Dabrowski, 24-9-2 for the vacant WBO European light heavyweight crown. And Tim Vosing, 7-0, fights the 5-0 Maximilian Schnell for the country's open cruiserweight championship. Varleben showcases 20-0-1 with 17 KOs heavyweight Alexander Frank, while in New Rai, Rhineland Faults, 34-3 cruiserweight, Hizmi Altunkaya is spotlighted there. Light heavies do battle in Garchin Bayern when Musa Yama crosses the road with Hamza Vandera. Vacant titles available in Esporkamp, Nordwein, Westfalen, 2-8-1, 29 KOs, and Omar Jeddah, 16-14-1, seek the GBC World Light Heavyweight strap, and it's Riza Beydili and Georgios Bidzonis, both fighting for the GBC Intercontinental and UBO International Heavyweight belts. Super lightweight clashing in Lipaja, Latvia, as Zegor's Mamaseva slugs it out with Istvan Kovacs. Gdansk, Poland will see the Adrian Sizipior versus Pavel Semjanov middleweight bout broadcast on Polsat Sport Extra TV. Heavyweight Michael Smola, he makes his debut against John Herbert at the top of a big card of four rounders in Ústí nad Labem, Czech Republic. Italy is busy tonight in Pescara Abruzzo. Light heavies Luca Spadazzini and Federico Gassani meet up, while in Volcara Lombardia, it's Francesco Acquitello versus Lorenzo Cali in the super lightweight topper. Pirato and Puglia features the Francesco Litti versus Valero Azzula super welterweight encounter. Hugo Amazzano in Tuscany closes the show with the lightweight clash of Marvin Demolare versus Reynaldo Cajina. Tirana and Albania, they headline with Alban Barreta clashing with Achille Szabo in a light heavyweight contest. Cruiserweights Goran Babic and Nikola Knezvic face off in the main event in Bezec, Serbia. Cairo, Egypt will see Abdel Khaled and Mustafa El Ossari fight for the country's vacant super middleweight strap. 24-4 with 13 KOs, Avni Yildirim and Youssef Kangria. 20 wins, 5 losses in a draw with 13 knockouts. Both seek the vacant WBC Asian Boxing Council super middleweight belt in the main event in Istanbul, Turkey. Debuting super welterweights go at it in the features from Aizawi, India, where Zakuhanamala Fanai by Stockholm Sagar Maite. 10-0 Sora Fukunaga steps in with Kenya Yamashita, 14-5 in their feature featherweight finale from Osaka, Japan. Taranaki City, Metro Manila in the Philippines, they top the bill with Alzun Palacio versus Bonjun Lopez, bantamweight matchup, while Cavite will pit super flyweights Kenneth Laver and Miller Albomarina against each other. Finishing up today in Tarawa, Queensland, Australia, with Trey Pilcher squaring off against Jacob Logan for the Open Australia Queensland State Heavyweight Crown. And there we go across the world with 24 countries today, picking it back up. The weather's getting nicer, and we're getting a lot more happening going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. In closing, you said about down Australia, you got that big fight with Haney and Kambosis coming down there June. I think it's June 4th down under.
Right.
So that's something to watch. That's going to be a dynamite fight. You're going to see a boxer, slugger, a counterpuncher. You're going to see one hell of a fight. That's going to be one great matchup down under. So we have to tell our listening audience, keep that in mind. See where you can tune into it. No sooner we find out how and when you can tune into it, we're gonna give it right out on the air. But Bob, you're talking about a dynamite fight, and still light heavyweight champion of the world. with Canelo Alvarez and Balbo proved that he, as a WBA light heavyweight champion, he is a champion to be reckoned with in boxing. From the opening round, he showed that he's there for the mean business. He took control of the fight early. And when he took control of the fight early, Canelo Alvarez in the middle rounds, he tried him, and he stood steady, and he finished up very strong. And I think one hell of a performance for him, that where nobody gave him a chance. He fought the fight that he needed to fight. Well, we talked about. At times, he used that strong jab. He kept Canelo Alvarez on the end of it. And when Canelo Alvarez got inside and tried to hit him with that right hand of the body to try to slow him up, he countered him with a left hook and backed him up by throwing not one, not two, at times three or four or five, six punches at a time, Belvo did. And that's what we talked about. And he backed Canelo Alvarez up, you know, and I said that before. You have to get Canelo Alvarez out of that stand. He's a fighter that likes to pressure guys to death. And a lot of guys, as we talked about last week, Bob, can't handle pressure. Pressure busts an iron pipe, and it breaks a whole bunch of those guys down that ain't used to a real strong pressure fighter. But Balbo, he controlled Canelo Alvarez on the inside, on the outside. He did all the things that he needed to do to beat him.
Yeah, he did. And we talked earlier this week, too, about how, Alvarez just kept hitting him in the arm. But you said that that's something too. That, you know, there's a strategy behind that you talked about, like getting a Charlie horse in the arm and whatnot. But he took it well and then kept coming at him.
Yeah, well, it is a tactic for a guy who's throwing a lot of punches. You know, you bang a guy and Charlie horse's arms to try to stop this speed from coming. But Belvo was so determined. They asked him after the fight, "Are your arms hurting?" He said, "Yeah, they're hurting." yeah, of course they're hurting. You know, Alvarez was banging him on the arms, but he was so well conditioned and so focused and well determined to defend his title, is that he said he's going to feel the pain in the dressing room, and that's the time to nourish and wound what's ailing you. And it proved out. He felt him. He just was so focused and determined to keep his championship. You know, it was a tactic. The man fought brilliant. You know, a lot of people liked it. Frankie Randall Chavez fight, when Frankie Randall beat Julio Chavez, that plan that we had, using the jab, keeping him on the outside, and boxing, moving, counter punching, and all that. So it was good to see a champion like that use counter punching, because a lot of these guys are just lead off fighters, and leading off means you punch me, I punch back, you punch me. But to get a guy when he's after he's punching, most guys don't bring their hand back in the position, the offensive, the defensive shot. And that's what happened with Canelo Alvarez. He would throw a punch and leave himself wide open. And when Belvo threw and counter punches, he's wide open to get hit, and he stepped to him and backing up. And Canelo Alvarez couldn't stand the heat on the inside, so he was pulling out with his head up and, backing up and getting hit while he was trying to back up with no defense with his hands down to his side. And this is what happens when you fail to prepare. You know, when you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And when you're underestimating these guys, a similar thing that happened in Tokyo with Mike Tyson, didn't want to train, didn't want to listen, you know, underestimating a fighter. You know, anyone that stands in that ring, you have to respect them. You know, because, you know, one punch, it only takes one on the right spot to get you up out of there. But Belvo was throwing them combinations, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, Bob. And,
right.
You know, at times, Canelo Alvarez was so frustrated, his style and all of that look amateurish. He forgot how to defensive punch. You know, you got to get up under it. You got to roll, but you got to be in dynamite shape to do those things. And someone asked me, they said, "Do you think Canelo Alvarez with the steroids, now he ain't on steroids, it took his juice away for him?" I said, "I don't know if it wasn't those, if they took his juice away, but Belvo had a whole bunch of Kool-Aid. He was cooling it down with Kool-Aid." You know, to look at this, so, Bob, you know, all of that talk, we talked about this last week, if he thought that he was going to go up against Usyk, if Usyk came down to 201, shoot, Usyk, as a cruiserweight, he's at his best, he's an undisputed champion, and, you know, you think Belvo did something, you go try to mess with Usyk with the combination, because Usyk's an offensive machine. And we said that before he fought Anthony Joshua, you know, that Anthony Joshua had to be on the top of his game and to get ready to really dig down and punch at Usyk in combination. So if Alvarez thought he was going to just go and play around, like I said earlier, you know, it's a different story when the guys have size and stuff like that. You can play around with those weight classes, or you're a boxer. A slugger, it's much more different. You know, we'll use this as an instance, Roy Jones. Roy Jones was a good boxer, slugger. He hit and didn't get hit. He could stick and move. He could fight on the inside. He had great speed. So he can move. He could move up in those classes because of his style. Wise styles make fights, and to use Billy Kahn and Joe Louis, you know, Billy Kahn for his size, he was boxing the heck out of Joe Louis until he got cocky, and they asked Billy Kahn, "Well, what happened in the fight? Why'd you start fighting Joe Louis like that when you were winning just boxing?" He said, "Because I wanted to knock him out." And the famous term of Joe Louis saying, "You run, but you can't hide." And he finally caught up with him. And, you know, Canelo Alvarez, style-wise, when you're going up there, you know, he's a slugger. He wants to try to push people around, you know, like that. Yeah, some guys you can do it with a big guy like Belvo, strong, tall, a boxer. You ain't going to be able to do that to him. You know, he could handle the pressure weight-wise, because Canelo Alvarez really is only just a blown-up middleweight or junior middleweight. He should have stayed down there and kept training hard because he's still young, Bob.
Right.
And what happens, the guys, because they're young and they still wanted to fight, they want to move up in weight class because they don't want to train hard and diligently to make. But training hard and diligently keeps you on the top of your game. You know what I mean? And,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't want to do that, so he's trying to move up around to adjust himself for that weight. And they said, "Well, we'll fight him at 168 pounds." I say, "Look, man, that night wasn't your night. You tried to move up. It didn't work. Look, let Belvo go on about his business. You go to your business. Go back, get in dynamite shape. Train hard. There's a lot of other big fights for you with guys that you should be fighting down there, and you moved up out of that weight class so you wouldn't have to fight them. And also, Bob, you have to look at Canelo Alvarez, you know, what he did with the WBC. You know, like it or dislike it, when it comes to rules and stuff like that, his trainer came to the WBC convention and asked for special permission to fight the cruiserweight champion. And they gave it to him. And once they gave it to him, you know, then he squandered his way out of that, you know, trying to pick and choose what he perceives to the easy one. You know what I mean, Bob? And you
right,
don't
right, yeah.
Go around effing people around like that.
Right, and that was that Makabu, yeah, that he was approved to fight.
Yeah, and he didn't fight it, and he went and picked this guy to try to get around fight Makabu because Don King had him, and he ran into exactly what he asked for. He got that butt whooping, you know. he got it. He got what he was looking for, you know, because his trainer asked for one thing, and he should have, I believe, you know, trainers, you know, they have a deeper insight to the game than a fighter does because it's two different things. You know what I mean? And, you know, Makabu would have been right there in front of him. You know what I mean? He wouldn't have to chase, not a boxer, doesn't have a good jab like Bravo and all of that. That was the fight that he should have took, and his trainer picked it right. And Alvarez went and wanted to do something different. I don't know. But, you know, like Joe Louis, when he got knocked out by Smelling, he said, "I just didn't listen to my trainer."
Right.
But, yep. Boy, when he came back on the rematch, he listened to his trainer. He showed, you know, when you listen and follow the advice of your trainer who has a deeper insight to the game, it paid off for Joe Louis, and he got his title back. Now, let me tell you, Canelo Alvarez is going to have to go back to the drawing board. He's going to have to get that fire, desire, and that hunger, Bob, you know. A hungry fighter is always the best fighter. Hungry fighter, if he's in dynamite shape, to, and a guy that, that ain't hungry, he don't have the drive for it anymore, and that comes from making big money. And Canelo Alvarez is young, you know, and, you know, if he wants to do this on that level, you're going to have to train. You're going to have to commit yourself. And inside that style you got, you're going to have to do the things that it takes with that style. You're going to have to move and slip in the punches, you know, and you're going to have to use the jab at some time with a jab to try to counter a long reach like that. And he's going to have to work on those things, Bob. And one fundamental mistake I've seen him do in that fight, Bob, with Balvo. You know, when you're fighting on the inside, you never put your head and face on a guy on the inside because you're in the middle.
Right.
And you're easy to get hit with counters. You know, it's a different story if you're going to take a guy and put your head in his chest to back him up, to push him back. But you got to put your head to either side of the shoulder where it stops you from getting in the middle to get hit with counters. And he kept his head in the middle, and that's why it was so easy to hit him with counters and to get up underneath the punches, too. And another thing that's a fundamental mistake, Bob, stopping a jab. You can't have your two arms up and close and I think you're going to close the gloves and stop a jab when a guy's stumping a jab like Balbo was. That's a fundamental mistake. It's going to punch through those gloves and open them up all the time. That's a fundamental mistake. But if you're going to keep your hands up, there's some tricks that you do where you can do that. And that's what I get paid, Bob, to do, to show guys how to do that when they're making mistakes like that. But we're not going to tell them how to correct it. We just tell them what it was doing wrong.
Right. And, you know, so what? But the one thing about Canelo Alvarez, he's still raking in the money, too. I saw something this week. Well, how much did he make? Like $89 million last year.
there's no doubt, Bob. He's a great champion. He's made a lot of money. You know, I'm talking about fundamental mistakes. And I'm going to tell you the greatest of all times. When there was a fighter named Leon Spinks, if you remember that, with only seven fights. You know, Muhammad Ali underestimate Leon Spinks, and Leon Spinks came in the fight and out-hustled him. Just outright hustled him, man. He was throwing punches and punches. He was a machine. But the second fight with Spinks was a whole lot different. Ali didn't let him out-hustle him like that. Ali was countering him back. And also, when he'd get close to him, Ali would tie him up. So he couldn't get his them punches on the inside. You know what I mean? So with Canelo Alvarez, if he's going to do, you know, keep on going, he's going to have to correct those fundamental mistakes and not pulling out, backing up with his chin up in the air, is that you got to go down or circle in order to stop a guy from punching at you on a straight line. And those fundamental mistakes, if you don't correct them, people now, once they've seen how to handle you, they're going to just reduper the effort of Balvo. So he's going to be in a lot of good tough fights if you don't correct them fundamental mistakes.
Yeah, you know, moving on, we have another big fight tonight. You know, speaking of junior middleweight, super welters, 154-pound champion, we're looking at a big rematch tonight. So, you know, maybe Canelo might want to drop back down at 154, what you're saying. But anyway, yeah, the big fight, Brian Castano, Jermell Charlo, big draw the last time they fought, and the big rematch tonight going on, too, and it'll be the first full unified junior middleweight champion in the four belt area. So we're looking forward to that one too. There's a lot going on. Looking at how they fought last time and what they're going to do differently this time.
Well, first of all, I say to them, about the sanctioning fees. Hey, look, man, you have to keep your eyes on the prize, and that's fight and keep or try to win those championships to become undisputed. You know, those sanctioning fees is a necessary evil. You know, you don't hear, you know, like the Oakland Raiders or the Rams complaining about the franchise fee that they play, that they pay the NFL.
Right.
And fighters that have those sanctioning fees is similar to the same. You know, you got to pay the cost to be the boss.
Right.
So, and this is what you have to do, and this is the business structure set up for professional boxing. You know, pay them.
Right.
Pay the sanctioning fees. What happens to a lot of guys is that they don't want to pay the sanctioning fees. Next, they don't want to pay the manager. Next, they don't want to pay the trainer. And guess what? They think they can take all the money home themselves. And then when they spend it all up, blow all the money, guess what happens? They start crying. They're broke, and they're crying and asking for people to help them.
And
the same people that help you get name recognition and these titles you're fighting for are the ones that help recognize your name as a champion. You know, the WBC, the WBA, the IBF, and the WBO. You know, these four major organizations, when you're nobody and you're crying to be somebody, when you get the opportunity to fight for those championships, this is what happens for you. You get a name because of the title recognition. They got to stop that. But let's get into the fight, because it was a hell of a fight the first go-around, Bob.
Yeah, let me just finish up that thought there. We'll give the numbers. It's 12% Castano is going to pay, which basically breaks down to 3% each to IBF, WBA, WBC, and WBO, where Charlo is going to pay 11%. Because the IBF is only taking 2 because he's the unified champ. But anyway, those are the numbers that we're speaking of, 12%, 11%. But it's high because you're paying 3%, but you're paying that 4 times. You know, but that's what you do when you're doing unification fights, exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, but during when you're making that kind of money in the 50% tax bracket of income, so you
right.
got to have some deductions in order to, to make that
yeah.
kind of money. And that's
sure.
a deduction that you have to pay to make that kind of money. You know, Bob, it's really something, you know, and when guys get on that, they're trying to put all the money in their pocket. But you fight and you win, you're going to keep on making money and you're going to keep on paying those sanctioning fees
yeah.
if you plan on winning. If you plan on losing, you're trying to count all the money that you get and you take your butt whoop and you go on home. And then when you try to get back in contention with those organizations, they say, hey, look, you didn't want to follow our structure. You didn't follow your rules. So we're not rating you. And you go on. You go on and see what you can do on your own.
Right.
That's what normally happens. But the first fight, Bob, was it was a draw. It was action-packed. What I see, if someone's going to make an adjustment, Cello has to watch out when he's jabbing that straight right hand over top of his jab. He's acceptable. And in the first fight, Castanio, he used that punch frequently when he got hurt, Cello. And for Cello, on the inside, when they're boxing, you know, he got to land that counter left hook that he hurt Castillo before in the first fight and to try to find different ways to do it. But if he's corrected that mistake to catch that shot, right hand going over top, and deliver that left hook counter once he catches that right hand over top, it may be the difference in the fight form.
Right, yeah, it's going to be good. We know that. That's going to be, again, on Showtime tonight, and looking forward to that. You know, John Ennis, too, big fight tonight for him out of Philadelphia. You know, big undefeated IBF eliminator against Clayton, and that's a welterweight fight there, too. So that's part of that. The television package tonight, too. Be interesting to see what Ennis does, because he's really looking good. He's 28-0, 26 KOs.
Oh, absolutely. Ennis is something to be reckoned with down in that. You're getting a new class of fighters rising to get big names so they can fight on the great big pay-per-views. But in the pound-for-pound list, Bob, with Canelo Alvarez getting beat, he's no longer pound-for-pound king, and the list is got to be Crawford, and it looks like one of these guys, Cello, may be able can squeeze in there in that pound-for-pound list. But, Bob, Canelo Alvarez has moved way down on the list.
Okay, yeah, but I like that point that Crawford, man, we've talked about him and all the things that go along with Crawford and the people he's fighting and everything. But, man, yeah, he deserves the number one pound for pound.
Yes, he can outright fight. He's a good boxer, not a slugger. And he can fight. But, you know, after Shakur Stevenson's performance, he's moved up in that list, probably on the lower part of that list, maybe 9, maybe 10, or even maybe 8. But, boy, that performance that he had puts him right up with that. And the matchup with Mayweather's guy, who they're having, Gervonta Davis, who they're having trouble with the contract-wise to re-sign with the promoter, I think matchup them two together would be a dynamite fight, Bob.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be good. Hey, you know what? We also have that card coming up. I just got the announcement this week for the card. That's June 11th down at the Miami Casino, it's called. Now, we know it as the Hialeah Arena. But, yeah, we have the WBA Heavyweight Championship fight with Trevor Bryan and Daniel Dubois, too. That's a big one we're going to be talking about in the next coming weeks, too. Plus a lot. You know, there's 7 different title fights going on that night, man. You know, Don King just keeps adding more title fights. He does 5, 6, 7 title fights, man.
Yeah, he does it in his own inimitable style as a great promoter. You know, he always says that he's for the people and by the people. His magic lies with his people ties. And he says he gives the people what they want. And he says he gives people action-packed boxing, and he gives them more bang for the buck, and he gives them what they pay for. They want to see good fights, and he says he gives it to them. And he said, that's what made me great. If I listen to the people, he said he listens to the people. And
yeah, let's run down that list, too. So we start with the heavyweight with Brian. But also we got Ryan Martin and Nikolov Straub. They're fighting for the NABA lightweight title. Carrie Scott and Jonathan Guidry, the NABA gold heavyweight title fight. Ahmed El-Bialy, he's fighting for the NABA light heavy. Trayshawn Wiggins versus Travis Castillon, NABA welterweight. Johnny Langston versus Isaiah Thompson for the NABA cruiserweight. And Ian Green will defend the WBA Continental America's middleweight title that he has. Great name coming out of this one, though, is Jonathan Guidry fighting for that NABA gold strap. And, you know, this is the guy that gave Ryan a good fight. You know, he's our shrimp guy, man.
That shrimp boat guy. Yeah, you know, I think that he learned from the last time just to give a little bit more, get in better shape and get more tagger in your tank, because he had Brian in position where it was nip and tuck, man. It was a good fight. You know, it was anybody, and Brian just closed the show and hunted it out, Bob.
Yeah, but we'll see what he does. Yeah, so this is nice. He got a nice performance, and basically Don King's rewarding him with another crack, you know, on his card. And again, it's an NABA gold heavyweight, you know, strap that they're fighting for too. So yeah, it's going to be fun. June 11th down in Miami, and Trevor Bryan, you know, we talk about him all the time, the forgotten heavyweight champion. You know,
yeah, he's just forgotten. You know, the writers, the most boxing writers don't even talk about him when they mention Usyk, Anthony, Joshua, Wilder, Luis, but he's in that category because he is champion, and he's bound with the WBA. Usyk has that. He's a super champion when he took those titles from Anthony Joshua, and he's in the hunt. You know, after that, Anthony Joshua, if he gets by this fight, Anthony Joshua, if he wins or Usyk retains his title, they got to reckon with with him.
With Brian.
Look, he's 6'4", Bob, is good height, so he can handle those big guys like Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. He's right there in contention. He has to prove himself. This number one contender fight, which is the mandatory, Nando DeBonis. We talked about him when he first started coming up, Bob.
We talked
about how he was something to reckon with, and he can outright punch. So, you know, Brian, we're going to see if he can handle that puncher, and if he gets hit from a puncher like Daniel DeBonis, can he deal with it once he gets hurt, and how he deals with it? You know, will he be able to tie the guy up by this time, get himself together, and get back on track in the fight? Or, you know, can he test Daniel DeBonis by him being young at 24 years old and Bryant being 32? Can he use that 32 years experience, undefeated, a champion? Can he use that against the younger puncher? You know, and this is what makes this fight very, very interesting for the heavyweight division. And I believe it's going to be bullets and gun smoke.
Yeah, I do believe that too. And we'll look forward to that as well. That's happening again.
You know, Don King is calling this the fight for
peace and freedom.
Yeah, peace and freedom. Yeah, yeah. And guess what, Bob? On June 10th, 1946, Jack Johnson, traveling through where I live at, North Carolina, Franklinton, North Carolina, he died in a car accident.
Right.
And we got a film grant from the commission to bring that on. So when you're talking about peace, the peace go out to Jack Johnson. Remember him, the first African-American heavyweight champion of the world, and that heavyweight fight that Don has is the day after, man. So it all falls in line, and you know, a remembrance of Jack Johnson and peace and freedom is an absolutely must. Fighting for freedom, justice, and equality—that's the real fight, man. You know, with all that going on over there, and with Putin, what he's doing to the Ukrainians, and how that's all turning out, man. Freedom and peace couldn't be no other word spoken during this time.
Right, and that is something that, again, we keep our eye on that. And, you know, and the whole thing, even with Bivol last week, you know, the Russian and Kovalev fighting tonight, you know, we're still looking at those guys, you know, but they were, and Dominic Bossel, you know, these Russians are still fighting, you know, they kind of laid off what they were talking about, the sanctions and stuff like that. They're not penalizing the boxers. But, yeah, we still have those guys who have to be reckoned with. Kovalev versus Pulev tonight, too. You know, we have Pulev, Kubrat taking on Jerry Forrest. Those are a couple big fights there in Inglewood, California. They're the old Forum. But, yeah, the Pulev brothers, they're to be reckoned with, too. Well, they won Kubrat, only lost two. They're Joshua and two. He lost another one, too. But only two fights.
Yeah.
He lost.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with fights like this going on, a lot of times, Bob, these kind of names, you got a big fight with Showtime. If you ain't on the high platform network that's being televised by a major network like ESPN, Showtime, Fox, or something like that, where you get the exposure, they get like pushed underneath the rug. But they're dynamite fighters, and we're talking about them because they need to be looked at, their fights, and to be reckoned with.
Yes, they do, and that's why we talk about them indeed, and that's why we go around the world, and we go to 24 countries, and we find up-and-coming fighters. We find other people who are fighting still in their 40s, and it's just great to keep talking about these names and the up-and-coming ones. And we've seen a few names coming up over the course of about 4 years plus we've been doing the show. We're talking about a lot of guys now 4 years later. You know, take Ryan Garcia for one, man. We talked about him when he first came out. I said, this kid, you know, he's flashy. He's, you know, he's got the big internet, social media, and all that kind of stuff, but the kid can still fight. Took some time off, dealt with some mental health issues, and, you know, we know that from what Tyson Fury has talked about him. So, you know, he brought a little more attention to it, but we're looking forward to a lot of that action, too. You talk about Haney and Kambosos, Lopez still in that deal, too, and everything else. So, man, we'll see how this all plays out through the rest of the year. But we should have some great fights throughout all the divisions, man, too. It's really heating up for the summer.
Oh, yeah. Look, you look at it, man, with Canelo Alvarez getting beat in Tel Aviv. He gets whooped by Kambosos. You know what I mean? We're saying, when you fail to prepare, you to prepare to fail. You know, just the same way you're hungry, there's other guys who's coming up the line that want what you want. And if you're not prepared, this is what happens. Look in this time frame, all of these big-time names, great fighters get whooped, including Anthony Joshua.
Right. And, you know, Alvarez, there's a little talk about a rematch even, too. And I don't know if that's ever going to happen. How that's going to work out, but, you know, he wants to go back at it again. But
Bob,
yeah, right?
Take a licking and keep on ticking and move somewhere else where, you know, you already got titles, you already got belts. Just move down and defend him and keep it going and leave him alone.
Right. Leave him alone, indeed.
Yeah. Some guys got your number, you know what I mean? And you realize that, you know. And that's what great trainers would do. That's what his trainer was trying to tell him, but he wanted to do it his way. And that's what happens when guys don't want to listen, man. You run right into what you ask for.
Right. And kudos to you, Aaron, too. But, you know, a lot of times we hear people, they lose the fight, and down the road they say, well, I didn't listen to the trainer. I should have listened to my trainer.
That's what
you guys are about, man. They don't have to do it. They sit there, they totally ignore what their trainer's telling them. Like you said, go try to do it their own way. But, you know, most of the time it works out. You should have listened.
you should have listened there, you know. And he didn't want to do it. So a hard head makes a soft rear end, and he had to take the bet with him. And his rear end's probably a little soft now. He can probably – his trainer probably can talk to him, you know what I mean, the way that he should talk to him, and both of them go back at the drawing board. And, hey, look, we ain't saying that, you know, everything bad, but this is what happens when you're a great fighter and you lose and you get whooped like that, you know. He got beat, man. It wasn't no fluke.
It was unanimous too.
He got an outright beat. So if he's willing to accept, you know, defeat, you know, that don't mean that you can't come back and win again. It means you got to go back into the drawing board. You got to get in better, tip-top shape. You got to listen to your trainer to get you in shape and correct the mistake. Fundamentals. You got to keep going over. And when guys get a certain level, they don't want to, you know, I already know how to fight. I don't have to go through that. But, yeah, you do. It's because fundamentals keep you sharper. And it keeps you from making those fundamental mistakes.
Hey, what do you think we're going to see in the Triple G trilogy now that this is not a Canelo loss? You know, that's kind of up in the air now, too.
That's great. You know, because Triple G's up there in age, and I think that's a fight that he needs.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back down, get in dynamite shape, and take on him. And
yeah, people want to see that third rematch, you know, the third fight.
Yeah,
Triple G, probably
that
September.
Is a dynamite fight for him.
They usually like to fight around the two Mexican holidays. This was the Cinco de Mayo, and then they have the other holiday in September. So, I mean, before the Canelo-Bivol fight, they were talking about Canelo fighting it, but I haven't seen anything in this week because, well, who's just saying he wants rematches and all that stuff. But I think the best way for Canelo to go is people want to see that fight. You know, it's a moneymaker, and it's a no-brainer. Just put the two in the ring. Let's go for a third time, see what comes out this time, and that'll better.
Yeah, let as Mills Lane, the referee judge, used to say, let's get it all. Let's get it all. yeah, Bob. They need to look at that fight. I think that fight will propel Canelo Alvarez back where he needs to be if he wants to train hard. But you know, there's no shortcuts to success. It's the plain old thing, Bob. Work, train, hard work, hard work, hard work. So you don't have a piss poor performance. It's the same old thing. But hey, sometimes the mind's willing and the body's not.
Right.
And, you know, when you reach a certain level, you know, you got all this money and you pay. Oh man, do I want to get it back? Sore legs hurt. Do I want to get up and run? Oh, am I gonna let my trainer take me through all these shit? Go back and lay down. Well, I don't want to box all these rounds, spar, and you know. And I'm gonna tell you, like guys told me, old timers at Muhammad Ali's training camp, and the list is long, fine, but distinguished. They told me, he said, when the punches start hurting, and you don't want to get up and do the road work, retirement is right around the corner. And Amir Khan, 35 years old, he just renounced retirement, Bob. So
we were talking about that when he fought Smith. They said, well, we were saying the loser, but both talking about if they lose, they'll retire. So Khan lost, and he did step away too. And I believe he's really done. He's fine. He had a fine, distinguished career, and you know, he's stepping aside as he realizes that it's done. You know, some people are done in the mid-30s. Some people will hold on till, you know, late 30s. And, you know, it's just the way you are in your body and everything else. But, yeah, Amir Khan, great. Congratulations. I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to mention that. Yeah, he, the great champion, stepping aside.
Yeah, stepping aside. It looks like he has gotten into boxing promotion, and he's doing things to help mankind out, peace work and stuff like that, with different nonprofits around the world, bringing food and necessities of life to different around the world with different organizations. So that's awful, and that's a fine thing to do, man. You know,
it's
a blessing if you're able to do that, Bob.
Yeah, and good for him, too. And, you know, just one other thought, too, the Kovalev, you know, we're speaking of Canelo Alvarez, you know, that was the last time Kovalev got in the ring way back in November of 19. He's moving up the cruiserweight. So I don't know how this is going to play out tonight, but we'll see. As I said, going against the undefeated Pulev brother, the Tervell. So, yeah, Kovalev might be, we'll see what happens here. This could be his end of the road, too.
Yeah, and hey, look, we're going to be tuning in to all of them to see what happens. And, with 90 seconds left, Bob, and you can catch it next week, and we'll tell you what we saw it and how we viewed it and how we seen it. But Bob, let me tell you, it's always great. You always do a great job taking us around the world to let us know what's happening in the nooks and crannies on the planet when it comes to boxing and the deal with the past, the present, and the future stars. Bob, we talk about it all here on the World Boxing Review Radio Show. But we want to thank our guests around the world that tune in to the World Boxing Review week in and week out. And it is the fan that makes it happen for us. And that's why we keep going. You know, how many years we got now, Bob? Seven?
We're going to get four. Yeah, we're going pushing five. We'll be five in September.
Okay.
And we're over 200 shows, and yeah, it's just been great, Aaron. And thank you again, too, for the opportunity to sit here and talk boxing with you, man.
yeah. But we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trader of Champion, already aficionado Bob Murray, and our boxing historian Henry Haskopf, every Saturday from 11 to 12. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.